helping me to take another opportunity. As Terry said, if Joe was preaching, it would have been good. Seeing the title, if you are worried, if you are in a wrong place, I want to assure you that you are in a right place. We are not going to have any technology session. The intent why I put this is more the buzzword today. And we see that this is being used in everyday talk. So, artificial intelligence has been determined as one of the most disruptive technology, which is disrupting in many ways, in many areas, in many lives. But I am not here to talk about artificial intelligence here today. My intent here is, I want to spend understanding how in today's world the worships are being disrupted. My sermon for today is disruptive worship. The intent is we have to guard the God's authorization worship in this changing world. If we see in today's context, in the today's world we are living, there is constant disruption. There is disruption through technology, human preferences. They are reshaping everything and including worship. So the question is not what do we like in worship or what attracts people. The real question should be what did God authorize us? Worship is not about innovation. It is more about obedience. We just sang the song, I obey all the commands of God. In Daniel chapter 7 and 9, it is mentioned that God is the Ancient of Days. His truth is eternal. So how does worship become disruptive? We come here to build a channel with our God. So worship becomes disruptive when we interrupt or alter the authorized channel of communication between God and humanity. When we introduce elements God did not ask for, we are not enhancing the worship. We are destroying it. That is the theme. So in John chapter 6, chapter 4, 24, we see it is clearly mentioned God is spirit and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship in truth means to worship according to God revealed instructions in his word. Anything else is vain worship. It is empty, worthless, unaccepted, and attracts the wrath of God. So if we see what are the different ways of disruptions that are being caused in worship today, one thing we can see is disruption through unauthorized innovations. So what are these unauthorized innovations? Let us see. So in Leviticus chapter 10 verses 1 to 3, we see that Nadab and Abihu offered a strange fire there. So one thing what we have to remember here is God has always specified how he should be worshipped. He never left the worship to human imagination. All his patterns and instructions are very clearly given in the scriptures. So, be it in case of Nadab and Abihu or even Cain and Abel, their offerings were never accepted. In the case of Cain, his offering was not accepted. And similarly, the fire offered by Nadab and Abihu, God did not accept it. If we see the context here, they both, Nadab and Abihu, they were sons of Aaron, they were priests. They had the right lineage. They were at the right place at the tabernacle. They were performing a spiritual priestly function. The error what they did is they offered a profane fire, the strange fire which God did not authorize. The consequence in verses 2 we can see, so the fire went out from the Lord and destroyed them and they died before the Lord. In verses 3, God clearly mentions, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. God did not specifically forbid what they did. He simply had not commanded it. Their sin was doing something without divine authorization. So what do we see as modern day strange fire? So in today's worship, what do we see are the strange fires? The first one, what I would want to discuss is denying or questioning the authority of divine silence. Before getting into this point, I would want to make an illustration. See, one of our family member or somebody who is planning to go for his first interview or trying to set up his meeting, a business meeting or something. So most of us would give him some advice, or well-wishers, or they give them advice saying that this is your first interview, prepare well, dress neatly, don't sit and scroll the phone in the room, and when you are in your interview, keep your mobile in silence. We give them all these advices. If they question back, you saying, where is all this mentioned here? So how would you feel about it? Instead, if they ask you, is there something else that I should take care to be more prepared? How would you feel about it? When it comes to the scriptural silence, that is what we have to adapt to. The foundation principle in the non-institutional Church of Christ is we respect the silence of scriptures. We do not ask, where does it say we can't? We ask, where does it say we must? So that is how our attitude should be. It is in Hebrews, the chapter 7, verses 14, the writer of Hebrew clearly mentions that Moses did not talk about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribes Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. So we can see that the silence is binding here. So it was not discussed. So when the scripture is silent, we as we follow the word of God, we try to maintain the silence of scripture. So we do not question the authority of divine silence, or we do not deny the authority of divine silence. Other strange fire in today's world, what we see is instrumental music in worship. In New Testament, God has commanded singing, and if in Ephesians chapter 5 verses 19, if we see, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3 verses 16, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. In James chapter 5 verses 13, if anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. In Hebrews 3:15, it is mentioned, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. God authorized vocal music. Adding mechanical instruments is adding strange fire, something which God did not command. The next important thing that we try to add is institutionalism in worship. So when churches fund human institutions like colleges, orphanage homes, missionary societies, or sponsoring churches from the treasury, they go beyond the scriptural authority. In 1 Timothy 5:16, it is clearly mentioned that if anyone believing man or woman has widows, let them reveal them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may reveal those who are really widows. Paul clearly distinguishes between individual responsibility and church's responsibility. The church's authorized work is to do evangelism, edification, and benevolence of the saints. So introducing institutionalism is another strange fire that we see in the today's worship, which God did not command. Another strange fire what we see today is entertainment and social functions in worship. Worship is becoming more a performance, and the focus is shifting from God to audience. In many denominational churches and other institutional churches, we see this happening more and more. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 3, it is clearly mentioned that they will heap up teachers to suit their own desires. And coming on the social functions, it is clearly mentioned that in 1 Corinthians 11, 22 and also 34, what, do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God? If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Today, what we are seeing in most of the denominational congregational churches is, they have church kitchens, they have fellowship halls, recreational programs and entertainment happening in church, everything funded by the treasury of the church. This is disrupting the spiritual nature of the church mission. This is about adding the strange fire into our worship. So what God did not command. So other disruption what we see is disruption by distraction. So the image talks more here, the picture what you see. But before going into that, there is one very simple distraction that happens to everybody in our daily life, that is the sin of unprepared heart. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 1 and 2, we see the scripture clearly mentions, walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. The question for us here is, so when we go to work or when we go to any of the meetings or anything, do we prepare more than what we do the preparation to come to the worship? Do we rush in God's presence without mental or spiritual preparedness? Do we offer the God the leftovers of our time and attention? Because in Malachi chapter 1 verses 8 and also in 13 and 14, God clearly mentioned that God rebukes Israel for offering blind and lame and sick animals. You bring the stolen, the lame and the sick. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? We do the same when we arrive late, tired from late night Saturday entertainments or functions or wherever we went, and when we wake up, our minds are not prepared and we rush to the worship. So that is what happens when you are having an unprepared heart and coming to the worship. You get distracted because of your unpreparedness. So in Psalms 122 verse 1, it is clearly mentioned that I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David the king, being engaged in his kingly office, was glad and eager to go to the house of the Lord. Eagerness, not reluctant, should mark our approach to worship. The other disruption what we saw in the picture is the digital disruption. And this is more with technology growing in the world. Most of the technology is helping us, be it this laptop, that projector, we are able to show them properly, our mobile devices, we are using day in, day out, even for our Bible, we have Bible apps there, Technology is definitely helping it, but at the same time, it is also causing distractions. Like smartphone, tablets, they are useful. It doesn't say that they are not useful. But when we are at worship, okay, there are other worldly apps which cause distraction. Like it is mentioned in Luke 8 and 14, this is about the parable of sower. So now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with care, riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. So if we see today, we have digital thorns in our pocket. So these are some of the digital thorns: notification, text messages, news feeds, sports scores, Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook. All this we store in our apps. Nothing wrong while for communicating or just having them in your app when you are interacting with others. But when we come to worship, there is some sort of discipline I think that we should follow. Usually most of the churches or some churches, we see that they put a sticker, keep your mobile in silence, okay. But use of devices can cause disruption, that would be more better, I would say. So these are some of the digital thorns that we are having today, which are causing hindrance in our worship. So if we don't keep our mobile in silent or something, if while I am preaching, if I am getting notification messages, you are hearing constant beep sound. So most of you are distracted today. Similarly, when you are using your device and checking your Bible app, suddenly some Facebook message comes or some WhatsApp message comes, you are distracted. So these are causing that, like, you are not able to worship the way you have to worship God. So these are causing disruptions to give the right privilege that God demanded us. So in Matthew chapter 6 and 24, it is mentioned, no one can serve two masters. Similarly, you cannot be fully present before God and simultaneously scrolling your Instagram, checking emails and all. There is nothing about taking this personal or emotional or just thinking that this is important. The more important thing here for us is the truth of God. Because in Proverbs 14 verses 12, it is mentioned, there is a way that seems right, but it leads to death. That is how God is treating this. So we should be very careful when we are in the worship. So we have seen two types of disruptions till now. One is by the unauthorization of the authority, and other one is the digital disruption. The other disruptions what we can see is disruption by the human traditions. So as Joe read the scripture reading today, so we can see that it is clearly mentioned there, in vain they worship me. So tradition versus truth. So if we see, that in the scripture it is mentioned it is vain worship. So what does vain worship mean? To resist distraction error, we must actually return to the bedrock of truth, rejecting the shifting sands of human tradition. If we see in the verses in Matthew chapter 15 verses 1 and 2, so Christ is asking, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? In verses 3 and again in 6, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by traditions. And the verdict in verses 9, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine commandments of men. So if you follow human traditions, this is what God is calling. Today, most of the world is celebrating a tradition as Christ rose again. They are celebrating it as an Easter. So how did you decide that today is Easter? Last year it was April 20th. Today it became April 5th. So who decides these dates? Who gave them the authority to decide this date? So how do you pick this date? So when you question them, do they have the answer? Even when it comes to Good Friday, when Christ was crucified, it was Friday, no doubt about it. But the next year it is not Friday. Either it would be Saturday, or if it was a leap year during that time, it would move to Sunday. So who picks these dates? How are they authorized to do that? And are we supposed to follow it? This is what we should be questioning them. So the danger of vain worship is, like, the problem is, we can be sincere in our worship. We can elaborate. It can be beautiful. But as long as it is vain, I mean it is worthless, there is no point in doing that way. Because God is not going to accept that worship. It is just like you are talking to somebody, you lost the signal while you are talking. The signal is gone, you don't know, but you are still communicating. So after later you realize, okay, there was no signal, I lost him. No point whatever you discuss. Similarly, when you are here and communicating to God, you have to establish the strong signal between you and God to have that communication. And that is what God is demanding us from all of us in the worship. The other thing what we see is will worship. In Colossians chapter 2 verses 23, we can see, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. Older version of King James Version, it is mentioned as will worship there, the self-imposed religion. So, I'll read it again. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglecting of the body, but are of no value against the indulge of the flesh. Will worship, that stems from the will of human. I think this would be better, having something like this is better for worship and all. So today in modern day, how is the will worship happening? So people say that let's make worship more seeker friendly with drama and videos. We need to be contextualizing this worship to tailor the teenagers more so that we can grab them all. Traditional worship is boring. We need contemporary elements. So we redesign worship to suit human preferences. We move from divine authorization to human innovation. So that is what causes the most disruption when we do all these things. Today we are actually looking for a full-time preacher. We are searching very hard to get the right person. So as in one of Jim's lesson that we were reading, Joe was mentioning that today many Church of Christ are inviting other congregational, denominational church members to preach. But if we think to do that, the biggest problem we'll face is we will have one of these disruptions. Because they will come, they will steal our identity of having one God, one faith, one baptism, one worship. So they will steal all this from us. So we should be very careful when we are trying to find the right preacher. The other disruption what I want to discuss is disruption by disorder and confusion. The visual picture depicts most of them. People have worked sincerely, very hard to build that track here. But if you see, what they missed is they did not follow the order. So you can see the disruption of not following the order there. So in Corinthians chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see that the congregation of the Corinthians, they were blessed with some spiritual gifts. They were using tongues to talk and all. So that created a lot of chaos and confusion. So that is why Paul clearly mentions to them, saying that God is of peace. He doesn't create the confusion for you. So the problem here, if you see, the Corinthians church had spiritual gifts, but they were using them in a way that caused chaos. Talking over one another, prioritizing showmanship over edification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses 33, it is written, God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And also in verses 40, it is, let all things be done decently and in order. So every good thing done in disorder becomes disruptive. The other thing what we see is like emotionalism over understanding. So in 1 Corinthians 14 verses 15, we see, I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with understanding. I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with understanding. True worship engages the mind. It is not about weeping or emotions or creating a spiritual high. Just if I stand here and I do some drama saying 10 times hallelujah or giving some picture or I am trying to heal somebody and do all the drama, that emotion is not what God is looking for. So this kind of emotions God is not attracted to. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 1, we see, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable here is more logical, more mindful and all. So when worship becomes more of shouting, frenzy or manufactured emotion that throws down the teaching, we have disruption. So the disorder causes the disruption here. So till now we have seen different ways of disruption, like adding what God did not command to us, coming unprepared or distracted, following the human traditions, or worshipping in disorder. So to conclude this, what God has asked us to do, follow the old paths. So what does that mean? The call is for following the old paths. In Jeremiah 6 verses 16, it states that, thus says the Lord, stand in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find the rest for your souls. So we should always stick to the path or the ways that God has set for us. In 2 John verses 9, it is mentioned that whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. The old paths are not outdated paths. They are eternal. One thing what we have to understand here is God is not trying to upgrade his requirements here. He is not like software. You will not have another worship 2.0 or updated version of worship coming from heaven. Or you cannot have add-ons or top-ups to this worship. That is what we have to understand in this current world. The simple pattern what God wanted us to worship is clearly mentioned in the scriptures and in the New Testament. The pattern says we should have singing, we should have prayer, we should have preaching and teaching, we should have the Lord's Supper, and we should have the giving. This is what God commanded us. And how we have to do everything is commanded to us in the scriptures. With this, I would like to conclude my sermon and I would like to share the invitation. If you have not obeyed the word of God, this is the time to obey and follow the scriptures and always walk faithfully in the word of God. So the invitation here, you have to hear, you have to believe, you have to repent, you have to be baptized, and you have to stay steadfast faithfully in what you do. That is what the scripture mentions. I thank once again for giving me this opportunity and I hand over it to Terry.